Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. And amen. Hallelujah. Shalom, saints. Hallelujah. If you would turn to John, the 14th chapter. It is a blessing to be in the house with you this morning. Not just those with you that are here in the sanctuary, but also to those that are tuning in online in iChurch, in Spanish and in English. Hallelujah. So we're thankful for that. Our translator, Alex Jancic, is on a trip to the Czech Republic. So this morning we have standing in for him, Elias Rodriguez. So we thank you, Elias, for filling in for Alex this morning. If we look at the 12th verse in the 14th chapter of Yohanan, that is the Hebrew name for John, we're going to see some things that we need to see. We're coming off the heels of Jubilee, Shavuot, where we celebrated the Holy Spirit descending upon the church, because there's nothing that we could do without the Holy Ghost. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? First of all, let me ask if anybody filled with the Holy Ghost this morning. All right, come on now. Come on, wake up. You got the whole weekend. Tomorrow to barbecue. Stop barbecuing in your heads right now. You're like, thinking about that marination. Focus on the word right now. Give Yahweh his time. So I was gone last week, but the apostle so graciously filled in and brought a magnificent word. And I believe he said that his word was the battle when captive in your own mind. So appropriate, because you in your own mind can be so captive that you hinder the work of the Holy Ghost. You want me to say that again? Okay. You, in your own mind, can be so captive that you hinder the work of the Holy Ghost. And so, we're in sync with that. Because in this day and age, Satan is trying to flex his muscle. You see what's going on. You see the news reports. He's trying to show his power. If the church would wake up and exhibit the power of Yahweh, we would see something happen that was extraordinary. But we got to wake up. Tell your neighbor, wake up. Wake up. You got all this power inside. And this is what this is talking about. I keep on hearing people, I don't see the miracles and the signs and the wonders. Well, what you doing? How do you think the work happens? That's what we need to talk about. So, Yohanan 14, chapter 12, verse. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. It's a powerful statement. He's saying, I'm leaving. But I need you to transact business in my name. I need you to carry forth the kingdom. But how does the kingdom get carried forth? We say by works. The power of the Holy Spirit being manifest, actionable. That is observed, that people can see the power moving. Not just in the life of the church, but in your individual life. He's expecting that. But before that, before we can even get there, there's a caveat. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth. You can't do the work unless you believe. And believe is such a term that, you know, we don't even understand what it's saying. But it has layers. The translation of the word has layers to it. In the Greek, the Hebrew, some of y'all, and Holy Spirit was speaking to me as even weeks before. Why aren't my believers believing? Because I don't think y'all understand what it means to believe. I'm gonna help you. I'm helping me too. Because when you look up believeth, the Greek word for believeth is pistuo. And it has these layers. Three layers. First, you have to have bought in to the faith. Meaning that if you accepted Yeshua, you accepted the walk, y'all. What? Don't sign the contract unless you're ready to abide by the contract. Don't sign up for the word unless you're ready to sign up for the word. That means whatever the word is saying, you signed up for it. Tell your neighbor, you signed up. That's like y'all going buying a car and signing the contract saying that you make the payments and you don't make no payments. And then had a nerve to get mad when they come get it. No, you ain't getting my car. I seen the videos, y'all. People sitting in the car while the tow truck man is there. And you're going to sit in the car. You want the benefit of having the car, but you're not making the payments. Come on. How dare you sit in the seat of blessings, but you don't want to do the word? You signed up. Tell yourself, I signed up. When you acknowledge that Yeshua was buried, crucified, buried, rose again, had all the sins of you on him, and he rose in victory, and you said, I believe that. I believe that he did it for me. And you said, and to demonstrate that, I'm going down in the waters of baptism. And when I go down in those waters of baptism, the old me is dead, just like Yeshua was dead in the tomb. And then when I come out of that water, I come out brand new in victory, just as Yeshua rose in victory. And I came out transformed. And he gave me a brand new life. And all I have to do is just serve him for the rest of my life. That's when you signed up. When he fills you with that Holy Ghost. With the same power that created the universe. The same power that rose Yeshua up from the dead is inside of you. You signed up for this. So he's saying, you gotta accept the walk. Number one, that's the first part of believing. Do you believe that he died for you? Do you believe that he rose again on the third day for you? Do you believe he sent the Holy Spirit with power to dwell inside of you? Right. Number two, you trust that this way is true. Do you? A lot of times we say we do all that believing, but it's not demonstrated in our action. We try to cherry pick what we want to do. Well, I'm going to do this in the word, but I'm not going to do that. You got to take the whole thing. And then you got to trust this way. It's true. Do you trust Yahweh? If he said you're the head and not the tail, do you trust that? But if you trust it, it has to be demonstrated in what you say, what you do, how you live. Because people want the greater works, but you ain't even believing yet. Three, you're committed. Are you committed to the word? See, a lot of people say, well, I accept the walk, but I don't know if I want to be committed. Well, you can't have no greater works. And the kingdom needs you to do all three. So if you have bought into the faith, you accepted the walk, you trust that this way is true, and three, you're committed to it, then you have truly believed. If you're not committed, you don't truly believe. And therefore, that's why you have hit a brick wall in your walk. You can't seem to get no higher. You can't seem to be victorious. The choir was just singing, I got victory. I dare say, I don't know if everybody in that choir has all the victory. You can't just say it and sing it. You got to demonstrate the victory. You can't get up there talking about, I got victory, and then get into the back room, and it's like, oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so depressed. But didn't you just say you have victory? You calling Sister So-and-so talking about, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. We had somebody in Bible study saying that you get to a point where you're a believer, and you're sitting in a bar asking the person drinking with you what you should do about something instead of asking your God. You talking to the bartender. First of all, what are you doing there? First of all, for what? And you pouring out your problems, what is the bartender going to do for you? He going to pour you another drink. So you can drown yourself in sorrow. But Yahweh said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it. Do you believe, anybody believe that? He has come that we might have life. And before that, he said, the thief come to kill, to steal, and destroy. Let's add to that, to bring depression, to bring anxiety, right? To bring sorrow and worrying. He came that we might have life. So what we're going to start talking about in these next few weeks is walking in the greater works. Because we have a desire for that, but maybe we don't know how to attain that or achieve that. And I believe the first person that we really should take a look at in walking in this is Yeshua himself. He came in and walked this out, y'all. He walked it out. And if we pay attention to what he did and how he did it, we'll be able to get it. So understanding that we have the definition for believeth on me, verily I say unto you, back to the 12th, that he that believeth on me, when he's done all these things, the works that I do, shall he do also. Somebody say she'll do it too. The stuff that he did, the laying on the sick and them recovering? I can do that? Yes. Casting out spirits? Well, no, I'm going to call brother so-and-so because he know how to cast them. Wait, hold up. You have been given power and authority, right? That's the greater work. But we're not doing nowhere near the work that he's expecting us to, right? And he said, those works you're going to be able to do, and then you're going to be able to do more than that. And this is the thing. We don't know what the greater work. Well, how can I do more than that? How can I do better than raising the sick and raising the dead and healing the sick? I'm going to tell you. We're going to talk about all this stuff. And he says, I need you to do that because I'm out. Let's get this. Maybe you don't get that. You see the stuff that I was doing when I walked with my 12 boys? When I was giving sermons on the mount and doing all the miracles? You see what I did? Well, I'm about to be out. I'm going. But that work still must go on. Even though I'm going and I'm sitting, I'm going to go to the right hand of the Father because I did what I was supposed to do. But I need y'all to do what I did and more. Tell yourself this. I need to do what he did and more. See, some of y'all, greater works is not getting your gas bill paid. That's not true victory. Oh, I'm so thankful that I had enough to pay my gas bill. Ooh, somebody gave me $200. Glory! That's okay. But that's not no greater work. That ain't even the work. That's just the bare necessities. That's just life stuff. That's just your life stuff. We're talking about kingdom stuff here. Come on, we're talking about kingdom stuff. Don't get so tied up in your life stuff that you don't know what the kingdom stuff is. The greater work ain't you getting your light bill paid and your gas bill and your cell phone not turned off. That's not victory. See, somebody up there was saying, I got victory because their cell phone bill was paid. But it's the truth. And every month, they're asking for victory for that. Oh, I paid my car note. Oh, I got victory. No, the victory's more than that. We're talking about total victory. We're talking about kingdom victory. Don't y'all want some kingdom victory? Check this out. If you got kingdom victory, all that other stuff is just, all that stuff is going, think about it. People are out there dying and you're worried about your bill being paid. And what I mean by that is people are out there dying and not getting the word. They're not getting the testimony that you have of what he did for you, how he delivered you, that they can have the same thing that he did in your life. And you are not, you're so concerned about your cell phone and who's calling you on it. Somebody didn't catch that. Then what's going on in this kingdom? The kingdom of Yahweh isn't just the heavenly kingdom. The kingdom of Yahweh is down here. Otherwise, he would have stayed up in his mansion. Why come here? Why wrap himself up in flesh and come down here? But he did that. Because he knew that there were some victories, there were some triumphs, there were some testimonies, there were some healings, there were some deliverances that needed to happen, there were some chains that needed to be broken down here. So he said, if y'all ain't gonna do it, I'm gonna come down, I'm gonna show you how to do it. And he did it. That's a charge. You're gonna do those greater works because I'm going. And I'm going to sit down on the right hand of my Father, and I'm going to look down on you and expect you to transact business in my name, in the name of Yeshua, the name that I was given from my Father. Tell your neighbor, so what you going to do? You know, it's crazy because he's put us in a place of power. He wants us to operate in this power. There are two schools of thought, and I know you've heard these before. Some people think that we're supposed to suffer down here. Oh, we're supposed to suffer, and whatever happens to us, and we must just allow it to happen to us because we're supposed to suffer. Interesting story. There's a pastor friend of mine, and he was in this prayer circle, and the people were praying. It was people from different churches, and he was praying. They were praying for some things to be done and some shackles to be loose, and this guy gets out of the circle, and you know, he allows them to keep on praying. So after prayer's over, they was like, dude, what's up? Why'd you come in America? Well, you know, I just think that if things happen, they're supposed to happen. So there's no need in us praying against it that, you know, it'll get better. We just need to accept it and suffer in that. We can't be too comfortable in this life. Dude, then what did he give you power for if you're just going to roll over and just let the enemy walk all over you? Why did he say that I've given you power to tread over serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, if he didn't want us to beat some demon head? You just going to roll over? Well, you know, he suffered. Yeah, but dude, he rose in victory. Yeah, he went through something, but he had to go through that for us because of the mess that we put on him. But he triumphed over that, and he rose again on the third day in victory. So just like him, yeah, we go through some stuff, but we're coming up in victory. We're coming up victorious. So yeah, we're supposed to pray. And then there's another school of thought that says, oh, yes, he put us here to have all the houses and the cars and the Mercedes and the Jaguars. Prospect, money, 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 money. But do you see what's wrong with both of that? We're going from one extreme to another. Yes, the cattle on a thousand hills is his, and I want the thousand. What about the kingdom? What about the souls? You're not going to win no souls if you have all the thousand cars and stuff. And you're not going to win no souls if you're suffering and downbeat and beat up all the time. So where do we find the balance in the greater work? Let's go to Mark. Why are we here? Mark 10th chapter. Let's go back to Yeshua. We've got to get this right. Hey, time is winding up, people. I'm not talking about my time. Yeah, that's winding up too. I'm talking about time on this earth. There are people dying. You know, there are those 49 people that were killed. They needed the gospel. Right? Who's going to tell them? There's some other people that are about to face disaster. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to share? Who's going to give the gospel of deliverance? You expect me to do it. But what about you? Tell your neighbor, what about you? We all have a responsibility. So we're going to look here. Mark 10th chapter, the 16th verse. You have to have a heart for this. You have to have a heart for this. And if you really embrace your salvation, you'll have the heart for this. And so the 16th verse of the 10th chapter of Mark says what? And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them. This is Yeshua. He was dealing with the multitudes. He was dealing with the people, telling them about the kingdom. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. What is being demonstrated here? Do you care enough for people to wrap your arms around them? Engage them. See how they're doing. Tell them about the gospel. 17th verse says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit? What do you want eternal life for? What is your motivation? A lot of people say they want to be saved because they don't want to go to hell. Is that it? You just want to be saved so that you don't get hot? It's been hot. The last few days it's been hot. And I heard a couple people say, ooh, I don't want to go to hell because it's, ooh. If it's like this, I was telling somebody the other day, I don't think about hell. Because I know the motivation is love. I serve Yahweh because I love him. I serve Yahweh because he has demonstrated his love. He's demonstrated his power. He's demonstrated the authority. He's shown me what I need to do in his kingdom. So I want to give back to him because I love him. I love him. He didn't have to love me, but he loved me. In spite of myself, he loved me. So I'm loving him back. And I want to one day be with him. So that's why I'm serving him, because out of that love, I wanted to keep on going. I want to serve him and love on him for the rest of my life. And I ain't even think, as long as I focus on that, I ain't thinking about the hotness. I ain't thinking about the devil. I'm not thinking about hell. So what is your motivation for eternal life? How can I obtain it? So what did Yeshua tell him? Yeshua said unto him, first of all, why thou callest thou me good? There is none good but one. And that is Yahweh. Do you know who you're talking to? There's no one good but just one. There's only one worthy. There's only one good. And do you know who he is? You're asking for eternal life, but what about the relationship? What about the one that you're supposed to be wanting to be with? Do you all know who you want to be with? Or are you still trying to figure it out? It's just like these relationships now. People say, oh, I'm single. Oh, I'm married. Oh, I'm divorced. And then there's a third one. Oh, it's complicated. Have you heard that? What is your relationship with Yahweh? Are you married? Or is it complicated? And I dare say, if you your status with Yahweh, some of us, it's complicated. Why is it complicated? Because we haven't decided if we want to be in that relationship or not. Has anybody heard of it's complicated? What does it mean? Help a brother out. Educate me. What does it's complicated mean? What sister? The dude's in this indecisive, right? Anybody else? They didn't make up their mind. They don't know if they want to be with June or Grace. Or Lakeisha or Jack. Well, it's complicated. They haven't made up.
that's the thing about it. There are implications when you get in a close relationship with Yahweh. There's going to be some sacrifices when you get in a relationship with Yahweh. And some of y'all don't want to commit to a status of, yes, I'm with him. Because you still slipping and dipping on with the enemy. I mean, I'm sorry. No, I ain't sorry. Does anybody know what I'm talking about up in here? So the dude is asking for eternal life, but does he really understand the implications of that? Is he going to commit, or is it going to be complicated? So he says, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you want? Do you know who is worthy? Do you know what eternal life means? You can't equate eternal life and leave Yahweh out of it. So do you really know what you're asking for? 19th verse. So Yeshua, I love him. He's a G. He's gangster with it. See, people, what I mean by that is, you know, not gangster in a bad way. He's gangster with the truth. He's like, it is what it is, and it ain't what it ain't. And then he'll check you. He's going to check you. Because he's going to find out where you really coming from. And everybody not ready to be checked. Some of y'all, I'm checking right now, and you get mad at me. I don't even know that I'm checking you. The Holy Ghost is checking you. You better get it together. Why he saying that? I didn't come here for that. Well, what you come here for? Either you came here for the truth or you came up with some fluff. Came here for some fluff to make you feel good. I'm telling you right now, I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm giving you the word. Not just for you to hear it and be like trying to decide if you want to do it or not. I'm giving the word to the people that honestly want to do the word. Absolute truth. So what Yeshua is doing, and the reason why I said he was a G, because he's like, okay, you're asking me questions. Let me find out where you're coming from. Right? Everybody looking for eternal life, but for what? For what? Your motivation, right? And so he says, okay, so do you know the commandments? Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. What was he giving them? He was giving them the law. Right? Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. You know the basics. Do you know that? And what do you say? He said, and he answered and said unto him, oh, master, all these have I observed. Do you know where he's coming from? See, we're not able to really, like, see the dynamic going on. But the dude kind of, his chest got big. Yeah, I've been doing this all my life. What you talking about? That's how he was coming at him. That's how the rich man was coming at Yeshua. He was like, well, do you know these? Well, yeah, I've been doing that all my life. Y'all think that he's like, oh, yes, I wouldn't know. No, there was a little. See, how do y'all feel when somebody tell you something that you think you already know? What is your attitude? Y'all don't be like, oh, yeah, I know that. Y'all be like, yeah. When you get on a new job and they trying to show you what to do and you trying to act like you got this. You don't gotta. You have any questions, Mary? No, I ain't got no questions. I got this. 5 minutes later, because you perpetrating. You don't know nothing. You think you know something, and so that's how this dude was. He was like, something rose up in him, like, hey, you know, I did this all my life. What are you talking about? Listen,
How do you know he's acting like that, Pastor Tom? All he had to say was, yes, I know. But he was like, no, I did this ever since I was a kid. So what else you got to ask me? So then Yeshua said, okay. I love him. Then Yeshua, he said, wait, what'd you say, Apostle? He said, I'm going to take you to the wall on this. You see, Yeshua, beholding him, loved him. And get the loved part. Love is like, I know where this dude is coming from. I see where he's going. He don't know. And that's why I got a love on him, because he don't know. Because I'm about to hit him. I'm about to hit him real hard here. He ain't even ready. He not even ready for this. So he says, one thing that you lack is, go thy way. So go on, leave from me, and go sell whatever you have and give it to the poor. And then you're going to have treasure in heaven. But I need to know that you're committed to this. So to follow me, you got to take all that stuff and you got to go. All that stuff that's making you all proud, that you've accumulated since your youth, along with that word that you think you got. Take all that stuff, get rid of it, and then your treasure's in heaven. But y'all, somebody's saying, that's cool. He wanted to give up all this stuff. Hold up. Didn't the dude just come to him and say, how can I have eternal life? He's the one that came to Yeshua saying, yo, man, give me some of that eternal life. But he's like, let me tell y'all something. If you haven't got this, in salvation, you got to give up something to get something. You got to give up something. What is that? Sacrifice. Why I got to do that? Because he sacrificed himself for you. So you think that you just going to get something free? Uh-uh. You got to give up something to get something. And if you don't understand that, what's wrong with you? Hit the door. I'm serious. If you think that you're so entitled that you don't have to give up anything, I want it all. You want sin and all, everything. Tell your neighbor, tell each other, you got to give up something to get something. You better get that in your spirit. You better get that in your psyche, because as long as you don't understand that, you're not going to be successful in this life, in this gospel, in this salvation. You're not going to be successful in it. You got to give up something. And basically, you got to give up everything. See, that's the problem. We want eternal life. We say we want eternal life, but we want to hold on to everything. I want eternal life, but I want to hold on to what I want. I want to hold on to this. I want to hold on to my pride. I want to hold on to stuff I want. I want to hold on to my desires. I'm trying to. Give it to the poor. Then you're going to have the treasure in heaven. Isn't that what you just asked me? Didn't you ask me for eternal life? So you let that go. Let all that fleshly mess in your psyche and your soulish nature go, and then I can give you some spiritual impartation. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Would you do that? Did anybody in here do that? Ooh, wait. Did anybody in here take up the cross and follow him? Well, if you did, act like you did. It sounds like it's still complicated. That's what it sounds like. I'm just saying.
22. See, that's why we're not seeing the signs and wonders, because people have not made up in their mind that they want the signs and wonders. They haven't taken up the cross. 22. Here goes dude. And he was sad at that saying. Hey, man, but wait a minute. You was doing this stuff all your youth. That's what you just said a few minutes ago. And now I give you the basic that you just got to let go of something to get something. And now you sad? You asked me what it took. And I told you what it took. And he didn't like the answer. Some of y'all don't like the answer. You don't like the fact that you got to give up that mess that you've been in all these years. You don't want to give up that crazy way of thinking that you've been embracing all these years. Hey, how's that crazy way of thinking doing for you? Are you out of your craziness yet? He wants to change your mind. He wants to renew your mind. He wants to transform your life. And he can't do that if you're holding on to the old life. He's like, man, I'm trying to give you new life. Let go of the old life. And you say you want new life, but you're still acting like you want old life. Make up your mind. You can't have it both ways. As they say in the world, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And he went away at the saying, and he was grieved because he had great possession. He had his, I won't say his car, he had his chariot. He had a lot of stuff. 22nd verse, 23rd verse. And Yeshua looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of Yahweh? 24. And his disciples were astonished at his words. But Yeshua answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust? Wait, hold up. Didn't we just read back that it said, he that believeth, right, shall do greater works? And part of believing is trusting that this is the right way, right? So what was he really believing? Because is he believing that this gospel is the right way and trusting that? Or is he trusting that his riches are the right way? And he says, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom? Who you trust in? What you trust in? See, that is the thing that's hindering the greater work, is where's your trust at? Are you trusting in the job? Are you trusting in your stuff? We're supposed to wear this stuff like a loose garment. You can take it and leave it. I tell this to people all the time. I ain't never seen a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. You act like you're going to take this stuff with you. Don't you know that there's some amazing things that's already set up for you if you just put your mind on that, if you just put your focus on that? He's got some stuff you can't even imagine for you. And you trusting in that 2011 Honda. Evangelist said, ain't even up to date. Some people won't even let it go. If he told you, let go of that Honda, you'd be like, oh, do I got to let go of my Honda? That's a good car. That's a good car. What if he said, lo, give that car to Joel? Would you be like, I ain't going to give to Joel nothing? What? My 2011? Is that the year I said? Honda Accord? No, that's a a car. I put a lot of money in that car. I ain't going to give that. Heavens no.
What you trusting in? You trusting in Yahweh or you trusting in Honda? I say that to you because you work for Honda. 25th verse. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That's cold-blooded. But hey, check this out. It's not as cold as you think it is. See, you guys be thinking about that needle that you needle and thread, and you be like, oh, well, a camel definitely can't go through that needle because I can barely put my thread through it. So that would mean it's impossible. Is Yahweh saying that it is impossible? Nah. The eye of the needle was the gate that you had to go through to enter in a city. It was something, it was shaped, even let's pick one of those doors. And basically, with the camels had a lot of stuff. You know, the camel got a humpback, then you put stuff on the humpback, and then the camel, he don't even want to, camels are really treacherous and nasty, and they got bad attitudes. They are. It's like you're trying to get a camel to do something. Camels are stubborn. And they nasty. If they really don't like what you're doing, they'll spit at you. So to get into a city, they would have to take all the stuff off the camel and then get the camel into a good attitude so that the camel would at least bow down and go in and do stuff. Sometimes they were spending hours just trying to get the camel into the gate. So it's hard, but I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not impossible. Glory to Yahweh. It's going to take some work, and that thing will bite at you too. It will try to bite you. Some of y'all act like camels. I'm serious. We're trying to do stuff for the kingdom, and you biting and kicking and we can't get you through the door. You won't go to prayer? Won't come to Bible study? And then when we say something, you get up, you start biting at us. Why are you talking about me? Oh, but I thank Yahweh for his grace and his mercy that even in spite of ourselves, he's still loving on us. And that's when Yeshua loved on them. He was like, this dude got problems. You know, I pray that he get it together. We'll have to carry this, finish. We're not even going to finish it next week, but get into the other aspects of what it takes to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. But the bottom line is this, let this marinate in your spirit. Have you made up your mind? Have you made up your mind? Have you committed that this is what you want to do? Don't just say yes. Examine yourself. Bow your heads. Father Yahweh. Our desire is to walk in the greater work. Our desire is to inherit the kingdom and all that comes with that. First and foremost, our relationship with you, Yahweh. That is what we desire. We desire a close relationship, a sincere relationship, a relationship built on trust. We trust you. We believe you. And we're committed to this life, this walk, your way. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, minister to us the importance of getting back on the right road. Being able to enter in at the straight gate. Hallelujah. Because wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. But blessed are those that can enter in at the straight. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, minister to us the importance of seeking first the kingdom of Yahweh And then everything else will be added. We give you glory for that. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Aman and aman. Keep your head bowed. Before I let you go, I must ask you a question. There are three types of situations that may be appropriate today. First being, maybe you don't have a relationship with the Savior. This world is waxing worse and worse, getting worse and worse. And he's looking for those that will serve him and rise up. Those that desire a better way of living, those that desire transformation in their lives. So maybe there's someone here this morning that's saying, I want transformation. I keep going through the same issues, the same stuff, day after day after day. Sometimes I think I'm losing my mind. I'm here to tell you that that's why Yeshua came, for situations just like that. He specializes in that. If you bow your head, are you believers and intercede at this time? So if you're saying, hey, listen, I want this relationship. I know I need him. We can get you there today just and pray for you for that. All you need to do is raise your hand. So if you want that, if you want that relationship, if you want this change, if you want the transformation, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you today. We'll pray for you today. Hallelujah. Maybe you say, hey, you know, I've had the relationship, but things are not the way they should be. I'm going through a lot. I'm dealing with a lot, and I've kind of drifted away from the landmark where I started in him. And you're saying, hey, I want to recommit myself. I want to be restored back where I need to be, where I should be. I know where he's calling me to be. I want to be there. We can pray for restoration for you today. All you have to do is raise your hand. Restoration, restoration. We'll pray for restoration. You can be restored back. Hallelujah. Lastly, maybe you say, you know, I don't know about this power of the Holy Ghost. Maybe I've been baptized, but I'm not sure about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and the power that comes with that. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know the power is being demonstrated in my life. If you don't know, we can help you with that today as well. See, I want the Holy Spirit power in my life, operating, ruling and reigning. If you need that today, just raise your hand and we'll pray for that. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father Yahweh, thank you. Praise you, Father, for your word that has gone forth. Your word that penetrates lives. Your word that transforms lives. Your word that speaks victory and triumph in us. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, for those that may not have raised their hand, but you're dealing with and you're ministering to them, Father, continue to do that process, Father. You said you could turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. So right now, Father Yahweh, whatever the needs are, that they'll be able to make that decision once again in favor of you. We give you the glory for that. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Aman and aman. Hallelujah. Let's give them the praise this morning. Woo! All right, one hour.